Hey, great to be here with you today. God is good. I'm excited about life and what, you know, mostly I'm excited to be up there with Jesus, but he's got us down here for a little time longer, and we've got some interesting things I'm going to share with you today. Hope I can get it all in. It's like J. Vernon McGee is going through the Bible and so many years. In fact, J. Vernon McGee, I remember when we were on missionary furlough. For those that don't know me, we were missionaries in Colombia for 25 years, working with the Piapoco Indians. And so we came through Los Angeles one day, and some of you know who Steve Irwin. His mother-in-law worked as a secretary with J. Vernon McGee. So we got pictures of with J. Vernon McGee and back years ago. And so it's just exciting to be here with you, and God is good. And I'm always glad to share the Word of God with people. I was here last time, if you remember, blowing the shofar, the tabernacle. And actually, today we're going to talk about Israel also, but it's not about the tabernacle. Before I get started, I just want to mention that we have, excuse me, back there on the table, there's these little, let's see, I don't have one here, but it's the Journey Through Christmas that we're going to be doing. I've been working with the pastor there at Volusia County Baptist Church, and every year they do Journey Through Christmas. It's been my last 18 years, and they give the gospel message at the end. So pick up one of those tickets there. They rounded me up to be the temple priest. I don't know why, but anyway. So Joseph and Mary are going to bring baby Jesus, and I'm going to do the dedication there, baby Jesus. It's a great program, so feel free to pick up one of those little tickets. You don't have to have a ticket, but get there early because there's long lines sometimes. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your love and your mercy. You are an awesome God. And Lord, as we think of this Thanksgiving, we've just got so much to be thankful for. Lord, I thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. And today, Lord, as we teach about the aspect of what's going on in Israel, what's going on in the world, Lord, we have that blessed hope and glorious appearing of Jesus, who is coming back soon. So encourage our hearts today. Help us to prepare our hearts for, Lord, the things you got here for us this morning. And I thank you for this church. Thank you for all that have come here this morning. And just bless our time together. And the Word of God, Lord, it's the Word that teaches us, Lord, about the future events. So we don't have to be fearful. We know that, God, you're in control, and that we can cast all our cares upon you because you do care for us. So thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Got to get my notes here. We're going to do a little quick journey. I don't know if I can get it all done, but anyway, we'll do what we can here. As you remember, I did the tabernacle for many years, and this goes back, they wanted me to wear the costume for the tabernacle, but I said, hey, that's going back to Moses and Aaron, but I'll be doing the Jewish temple priest for the thing. So anyway, starting today, back in October 7th, 2020, everybody knows this. I know you've been all watching the news, but I want to bring out some aspects of what's going on today in Israel, but also the world. Because we are definitely living in the last days, and we need to set our affection on things above and not things of this earth. So I put down here October 7th, 2023, the day that changed the world. We have some folks been in Israel not that long ago, so you probably have a lot of things you could share with us too about that. But we all know what happened there as Gaza, the terrorists came across the fence there, and I mean, the devastation that took place there. And I tell you, my wife and I just keep watching what's going on. And, you know, history and the prophecies are coming fulfilled, you know, day after day. So we are just excited to know, most of all, that he is coming back soon. So we're going to go. We know that what we've seen a lot on TV and all of that about the Israeli army. And they're definitely says the day that changed the world. Know that many of you have seen much news coverage and pictures on that. However, I do want to share with you some of the prophetic aspects that October 7th day and what it means for us as children of the living God. God has given to us His precious word that allows us to know His plan for the ages. Thank God for the holy, the word of God that gives us. Says, yes, we also had our day on September 11th. You all remember back in 2001 in New York City at the World Trade Center and result of the Al-Qaeda attacks on the Twin Towers. What happened on October 7th, however, could be more devastating from the worldview since it includes and possibly could include many other countries in the days to come. So that happened here in the United States back in 2001, but what happened in Israel on October 7th could have a lot more. And of course, we're observers of the end time prophecy, what's going on in the world. And the struggle between Arabs and Jews over ownership of the Holy Land dates back more than a century, and even before that, and has given rise to seven major wars. As we see now, the latest broke out on October 7th when the Islamic Palestinian group Hamas, which is dedicated to Israel's destruction and which the U.S. and the European Union have designated as a terrorist organization, attacked southern Israel from the Gaza Strip, killing 1,200. First they thought of 14, and they kind of reduced it to 1,200, but still, we know the devastation of that. And so the army bases and the music festival, I mean, some of the pictures of those that we've seen in the news. So what are the roots of the conflict? I just want to mention, what are the roots of the conflict between Gaza from the Palestinians and Israel? Nationalism grew among both Arabs and Jews in the Holy Land, which encompasses what today is Israel. The West Bank and Gaza, after the World War I era collapsed of the Ottoman Empire, which had ruled the territory for centuries. In 1920, the war victors gave the UK a mandate to administer what was then called Palestine. Intercommunal fightings in the territory was exasperated and by resistance among Arabs to Jewish immigration, which rose in the 1930s. In the face of the Nazi persecution, increasing numbers of Jews from abroad sought sanctuary in their ancient homeland. And this is something you all know about, where Jews have lived for nearly 4,000 years. I mean, it's going back, way back to the time. In an effort to stop Arab-Jewish violence, a British commission, a lot of people don't know this, but British commission in 1937 proposed partitioning the territory to create a state for each group. A decade later, the United Nations endorsed a different division. So what we're going to look here, and of course we know, we've all seen pictures of what's going on, the devastation there, also in the Gaza Strip. But also, let's go back to where it all started. And many of you know this, but this goes back to the sons of Abraham. The sons of Abraham. And so, how many know, what were the two sons of Abraham? You remember the story? What's their name?
Ishmael and Isaac.
Okay. Abraham didn't have much patience for Sarah to have her the promised son, but that's what created the aspect, the relationship between Hagar and Abraham. And basically, that is the key point to where a lot of this issue has been over the years. So the sons of Abraham, and of course we remember when Sarah didn't want, had the, here you can kind of see with Isaac, and then of course it created a conflict. Do we have family problems today? So it did create, and of course Ishmael had to leave with his mother, a servant, and we kind of know the rest of the story there. So the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Jesus is the giver of life. But we know our enemy. Everybody says, well, it's the bad people. It's the Muslim. It's a terrorist. It's the... Listen, our enemy is Satan himself. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We all know the battle that we've faced many times in our mind. I always remember when we lived amongst the Indians in the jungle. The Indians were great on bows and arrows. They could see fish in the water. I couldn't even see those fish. And they would take those arrows and and all of a sudden you see that water and they would kill that fish. You know, Satan knows every weak point in our mind. He knows where we struggle with. And so Satan is he's the author of confusion. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. If there's an explicit biblical explanation for this animosity, it goes all the way back to Abraham that we've talked about. The Arabs and descendants of Abraham's son Ishmael, with Ishmael being the son of a slave woman, and these all go back to Genesis chapter 21, and Isaac being the promised son who would inherit the blessings of Abraham. Obviously, there would be some animosity between the two sons. As a result of Ishmael's mocking Isaac, Sarah talked to Abram into sending Hagar and Ishmael away. Likely, this caused even more conflict in Ishmael's heart towards Isaac. An angel told Hagar that Ishmael would be the father of a great nation. Who is that? What nation? Okay, that actually, it's the Arab nations. They were the ones that from that. And so, would be the father of a great nation. And interestingly, that Ishmael would be a wild donkey. This is all from Genesis 21:18. A wild donkey of a man, his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. Sounds like the confusion, isn't it? And it all started back there with Abraham. Ever since that time, there has been this conflict between the Arabs and the Jews. This hatred comes from Satan himself, as he wanted to take God's place ever since he and Lucifer was cast out of the heavens in the very beginning. Satan knew that the Son of God was to be born in Bethlehem and would be the Savior of the world. Satan and his followers only know about coming to kill, steal, and destroy. What Hamas did to the Jewish people on October 7th was completely demonic. You know, Satan is out there. He wants to destroy God's people. He wants to do away with us because we're a threat to Satan. And so we got to realize it's a battle between God and Satan. I tell people all the time, the battle is between God and Satan. And we many times, you know, you think of, you know, God changing lives. You know, the Apostle Paul, he persecuted Christians, but God struck him blind on the road to Damascus. It changed his life forever. And, you know, I just thank God that God changed my life when I was 18 years old in Chicago when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior through a student from Moody Bible Institute, Bill Connor, who worked with the Billy Graham Association. We need to, in this world today, we need to be sharing our testimony with people because that's the only hope that we have for the future. So anyway, Satan, he wants to kill. Well, we see, you know, the hostage situation. I don't know if you heard, but the latest this morning, they didn't really want to let these other hostages go, but the Jewish people, through some of the pictures we can see, they all have loved ones, and they're still being held hostage. We thank God for those that have been released. There's question amongst the Israelites if this is a good thing or not, because you can't play with the devil. So the Jews in the world, we have seen worldwide the support for Israel worldwide and for the freeing of the hostages, not only here, but in many countries. And so when we see this, you know, we see some of these pictures that you've seen, I'm sure, on TV already. But one thing it has done in Washington, D.C., after what happened there in Israel, it did bring Democrats and Republicans together to pray. And, you know, I'm sure most of us have been praying. And so prayer changes things. Yes. And we need to realize that, you know, God knows what he's doing. And, you know, he said he's going to build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. God loves the Palestinians just as he loves the Israelites. Now, the thing is, Israelites are God's chosen people. I don't think the Palestinians like to hear that. but anyway, that's the thing. And the conflict started, like I say, back years ago. Let me see here. We've got the next picture. How many saw that on TV there in Washington, D.C.? They believe there's thousands and thousands of people, a lot of support, a lot of young people. I watched some of that. And a lot of people actually praying for the people there. Then you have the other side of the coin and our university and all these. I have a hard time believing that anybody in a sound mind, a human mind, would be in agreement with cutting off babies' heads and all of this kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just showing that we're living in the last days. The enemy of our soul, Satan, wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And so these are what are going on here. And of course, you know, seeing this here in our own country, not only our country, but in many countries around the world. Have people lost their sense of reasoning? You know, and so I wanted to read The Day That Changed the World. This was a guy from the, National Security Council. And I just want to read what he says here, thinking of our situation in Israel and worldwide today. Here's what he said. Globally, I want to address this moment of peril for the Jewish people worldwide. As we witness a disturbing spike in anti-Semitic speech and even instances of violence against Jews and Israelis following the October 7th massacre, today the National Security Council and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs put an unusual global travel warning. We are calling on all citizens of Israel to exercise heightened caution when traveling anywhere abroad. We know that Jewish communities and their institutions, Israeli diplomatic missions, and airports handling flights to and from Israel are key targets. Anti-Semites, National Security Council are urging all Israelis to consider any foreign travel anywhere is necessary at this dangerous moment. There's a danger today, you know, what's going on there in Israel. And, you know, it's sad to say, you know, a lot of people are supporting the Hamas group. And it blows my mind that they could even be doing that with what happened. So what role does Israel play in the end time prophecy? You know, this is something that as we think about it, we as Christians know a lot what's going to be happening in the future. But there's a lot of people that don't. And that's why, you know, when we share with people about the Lord, we need to share with them that God is in control. God knows what's going on. And so what role does Israel play in the end times? Well, it's all started back in Genesis. So we know that fact. So, We can see that Israel is a land of living prophecy. It's exciting to know that, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I shared something about the return and the rapture of Christ sometime back in a Facebook page. And Christians say, well, really? Is there going to be a rapture? It's not never happened. You know, people are losing heart and not wondering if there's going to even be a rapture. And I wanted to share some things about that here. Modern Israel and the end times. So we're living in an incredible time in history. And I mean, we've got videos. We've got everything that people didn't have years ago. They just had what the Bible, which is fine, the Word of God. You know, amongst the tribal people, and I like to put things in pictures. When we worked in the jungle with the tribal Piapoco tribe, praise God today, many of those tribal Piapoco know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And, you know, we use the chronological teaching program, thank God, for those in the new tribes that, I still want to say new tribes, sorry, Ethnos 360, but You know, it was transforming to see what God has done amongst the Peopokas. I have even some Peopokas that I communicate with in the IT language on Facebook. So we're trying to, I don't live in Colombia anymore, but it's a great way to communicate with them and to share the word of God with them. And so God is working all over the world. And so pictures have a lot to do. You know, a picture, they always say, is worth 1,000 words, so we can see more. And that's why I kind of this morning wanted to bring some of these pictures for us to see. Has some Word of God. Unlocking the Bible, the importance of Bible prophecy. So the aspect of the Bible has the answer. If we study God's Word, we can know what the future is going to be. And so Genesis 12:1-3, we know that from the very beginning, the three promises to Abraham. And I love this portion in Genesis because a lot of people don't know this, you know, and with all that's happened to Israel over the years with Hitler and all the 6 million Jews that were killed. But here's an encouraging verse from Genesis 12:1-3. It says, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing.'" Do you notice how some of the Jewish people, military, group, how they're treating some of the people in Gaza? They don't want to, they want to leave a good impression. And so even though they, you know, our country, in fact, there is a aspect of in the law where we don't want to do evil to them in the sense of, you know, God is, wants us to show that love. And, you know, the Jewish people have bent over backwards. Because they know that they're going to find somebody that's going to persecute them and say something negative about Israel. It says, "I will make your name and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Did you know that a lot of our hurricanes and things, calamities that have happened in this country and in the world, there's actually a long list of people who have tried to do away with Israel. And there have been calamities like hurricanes. Some of our presidents making certain comments about Israel. And it turned around and they had hurricanes. Yeah, God is in control. God knows what's going on. And so we know that He's in control. Did you know that in 1947, UN partition plan, Britain refers to the Palestinian question to the United Nations. The General Assembly votes for two states and an economic union. Jews say yes, Arabs say no. We can see the map there where Gaza is on the, so actually the Jews said yes to that. I have my viewpoints that it wasn't the best idea in the beginning. And of course, you know, back from 2005, I believe it was, that the Gaza Strip was there. Any questions on that? Somebody? Okay. So basically, that's the map. You know, you see in this map here, Jerusalem, there, a little part of it, Jewish state. Did you know up there when you get into Samaria, and also the Arab state is still in control. I don't know how many of you have seen of those that were hung the other day amongst Palestinians that were there, basically because they were supporting the Jewish people. So there's about over 800,000 Jewish people in that Samaria and West Bank area. It's a dangerous thing. My wife and I have said many times, why does Israel allow that? Why does Israel allow that? So it's hard to understand, but anyway, that's what's going on. The first Arab-Israeli war, you know, we go back to 1948. But even back in that time, there was a lot of things going on in Israel. The state of Israel is born in 1948. You know, the prophecies all started when Israel became a nation. what's so exciting is the fact that's getting the countdown now for us to the end times. Because Israel is, for us as Christians, I can't wait to think, and you know, we're going to come back after the rapture, and we're going to observe that. You maybe have never had a chance to go to Israel. Well, you will if you're a child of God, because it's coming that day. And so things are coming fulfillment. If you remember there in Israel, they went with the those that went in 1948, when the leaders there in Israel became a nation. And of course, right away, war started between amongst the Arabs and the others, you know. The answer for us today is found in the Revelation and the Old Testament, Isaiah, there's Ezekiel. These are all things that are coming, the Word of God. We know about Gog and Magog and Ezekiel 38, 39. How many of you remember my father-in-law, Bob Goddard, remember him? Did you know he never finished high school, but he did write 7 books. And one of them was on end time prophecy. He was talking about Ezekiel 38 and 39 before any of the people had been talking about it. Of course, he's up in glory. He's gotten first seats there watching everything what's going on. So if he'd be here today, he'd say, I told you so. This was what was going to happen, you know. So anyway, Magog and Ezekiel 38, 39, the war. These are nations they're going to come against. So that's why I say, 9/11 for us was small compared to what is happening today in Israel, because we're talking about including other nations. Now, I know it can put a lot of fear in people, but, you know, we have that blessed hope. Some of these nations against Israel today, Hezbollah in Lebanon, Yemen and the Houthis, I guess you pronounce, Syria, and we see in Gaza, the West Bank, Iraq. Can you imagine all these nations around Israel? It makes me think of the little song we used to sing as kids, and when I became a Christian, because little is much when God is in it. You know, you take a little country like Israel, and I'll tell you, when God is behind it, things are going to happen. And so that's that hope. I mean, even what's going on with Gaza just recently, the miracles. My wife and I listened to the testimonies of some of the Israeli soldiers that we've heard, and it's incredible. Some of the things there, that maybe they might not be Christians, but they see that there is a God.
Yeah.
And that's what's exciting, you know, as we think about what's going to happen. Then we have these other countries that are, you know, of the Gog Magog group. I won't go through that. I want to just say, America, what are we? Where is the United States at the end time prophecy? How many say yes? How many say no? Okay, it sounds like the majority. So something happens to our country here in the United States. Nobody likes to think about it, but it definitely says that America is on the decline in perception or reality. Are we witnessing the fall of the United States?
Yeah.
Things are happening. Even in the Washington, D.C., the Pew Research Center says the Pew Research Center is a nonpartisan American think tank based in Washington, D.C. It provides information on social issues, public opinion, and demographic trends to shaping the United States and the world. Looking to the future, and this is interesting, looking to the future, the public sees an America in decline on many fronts. Majorities predict a weaker economy. Gas prices are going up, you know. Other things, all the other things. A growing income divide, a degraded environment, and a broken political system. This is out of Washington, D.C. So, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Now that is from Proverbs 29:2. So we know it's kind of, when you think of the United States, what's happening in our country? You know, we were founded on Christian principles when those early pilgrims, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. And you know, while Thanksgiving parades were going on, the Palestinians were having their parades. Something's really wrong. And so, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. That's in Isaiah 5:20. And you will hear, this is always from Matthew 24:6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. This is encouragement for us as God's people. Not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. That's in Matthew 25. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, it's very easy for us, seeing the news, what's going on, with all the possibilities of the Palestinians in this country, what they could do. I mean, the border has been open. How many have been coming through? Not only that, the Chinese. There's a lot of those possibilities there. So it's now we cannot hide ourselves from the world situation like the ostriches. You know, you just can't say, well, I'm going to go to a place and or maybe go up in Montana, hide someplace away. We're living here, so we've got to face what's coming. But for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit of God, He's the one that gives you, because the enemy would want to put a lot of fear in our minds. How many have ever heard of Jack Hibbs? Okay. My wife and I, we listen to him all the time, Calvary Chapel out in California. And he's saying, get ready. Why there must be a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I know there's a lot of viewpoints that don't believe in the rapture. But I'll tell you, like I had in Bible school, one of my Bible school teachers from Cicero Bible Church, he always used to say, he says, when you get to heaven, you're going to see all of this is true, what I'm saying. and I think, you know, these are truths that come from. How many ever watched the movie Before the Wrath? Okay, excellent. Get that movie, because what it talks about, Christ coming back. And it's all based in amongst the people in Galilee. And, when I watched this movie, I thought, for a long time, I was in bed, Lord Jesus, please come back tonight. When I wake up, may I be in your presence, you know. And that, get that movie. It's very good, encouraging, you know, that Christ could be. How many ever listened to Amir Sarfati? I got my wife always corrects me on his last name, but anyway, we listen to him all the time. In fact, if you get him on Telegram, you can see what's going on daily there in Israel. I can't keep up with his posts, but anyway, he's a great one for resources. The big question for everyone, what will happen next? I think even the Bible teachers today really don't know what's going to happen. We know as Christians the future for us, but what is going to happen in the world? And we don't want to be, I thought about quitting. This is kind of interesting. The lion and lamb says, I thought about quitting, but then I noticed who was watching. So thank God that he's in control. Don't let Satan fill your mind with his fiery darts of fear. You know, Satan, like I say, he likes to come and give us, put fear in our minds. There is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So that's our enemy of our souls. Bible verses to give you hope. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons, by means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. And then if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. So we're going to go through a few of these, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I was here last time as a high priest blowing the shofar. That's the blessed hope. For we know that that he's coming again with the sound of the trumpet. The rapture is coming. You can believe it or not, but I am looking for that day when Christ will come back, and maybe it'll be during our nighttime, so we'll wake up in glory, you know. And the second coming of Christ. Now, there's a difference between that. there the rapture, and then after the 7-year tribulations, the Christ will come back again. You know, he's going to be the winner. So he's going to be, you know. So what is the difference between the rapture and the second coming? He is going to be coming again. In a moment, we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:52. No body there, you know. People are going to say, what happened to my neighbor? They're gone, you know. Well, that's why we need to share Christ with people wherever we get a chance. And, you know, that rapture was going to be because you have kept the word of my patience. I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come on all the world. Revelation 3:10. I will keep you from your hour of trial. And then, for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are looking forward to the last trumpet, you know. And I was going to bring my shofar to sound today, but didn't. I forgot it. I guess it's at my age, you know, the senior moments, you know, whatever you call it. But anyway, that we know that he's going to come. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am coming quickly. Hold tight what you have so that one, no one will take your crown. And so the resurrection in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. I'm looking for a new body. You know, I keep losing teeth and I'm thinking, I told the dentist the other day, in Volusia County. I went to the dentist. They had to pull a tooth. And I told the dentist, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So I just says, I'm so glad that God's going to give us brand new bodies and new teeth, you know, if we need them. So, but don't be in deceit. Remain faithful. This is my encouragement for you. Pray for and be a part of a revival. Let God work in our hearts and lives. Draw people to Jesus. And just in conclusion, I wanted to say, you know, take every opportunity to share Christ. We don't know. The other day I was in Lowe's buying some stuff for the building of our log cabin house. And the guy behind the counter, he's a black guy, and he had a mask on. And he says, how you doing? I says, I'm doing good as long as I keep my focus on Jesus. He came up to me. He gave me a hug. And he said, please be praying for me. You know, he didn't have a car or anything. So right there at the cash register, I prayed. There was nobody behind us, so that was good. But I prayed with him, and it just meant so much to him. The other day, somebody gave me a Starbucks coffee card. So I went to Starbucks and had some coffee. Well, there was a Hispanic guy, about 34 years old, sitting there. He kind of looked at me, and I took the coffee. I sat down with him. I had one of the greatest opportunities to share Christ with him. And I said, you know, Jesus died on that cross for our sins. He loves us so much. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I told him, I said, you know, God is watching us right now as we're talking. Someday there's going to be the judgment throne of God. And this moment, God is keeping in memory. So what you do with Christ is going to be what he's going to see, and he'll remind you at that time, you know, when we stand before God. So I prayed with him, and, you know, we have opportunities right in life. Go, don't be ashamed when you go to Walmart and say, God is good, you know, because we are living in the last days. And with that, in conclusion, I didn't, you know, like I said, I didn't bring my shofar. I was going to bring it, but you've all heard that. For the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Christ is coming back, and that's the good news. The gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus died, buried, and he rose again. And that's that blessed hope. And I trust that I'm keeping my time here. So anyway, we have that blessed hope that's waiting for us. You know, we're going to be someday in the presence of God, cheering him. And I love music. I was singing along with y'all here today. And, you know, it's just great because we're going to be in that choir in glory, singing praises and worship. Those who have loved ones that have died, my daughter who died of cancer, she's up there singing. She said, Dad, we're in that, we're up there in this great cloud of witnesses. Keep going, Dad, keep going. one, Dad, you know, and I know some of you have lost your loved ones. I think of Ken, you know, he's up there saying, keep going, Carol, keep going, you know. God has opportunity. You know, he knows that what we're facing in this world, and so we need to stay keeping a close relationship with him. And I failed him many times, but I know that he loves us. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. And God cares for us so much. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today for this church. Thank you for the body of believers here today, as we've covered so much in what is happening in the world and what's happening in Israel. And Lord, we look forward to your return. And Lord, we pray especially for those in Israel. Lord, they're your chosen people. And God, we know that you're in control of what's going on. We pray for all those soldiers that are facing all these dangers in Israel, and where even these hostages that were released, but also the Hamas hostages right around the same area. And Lord, we pray for them in a special way, Lord, that you'll just really comfort and help them to come to know you, God. Because they know about God, but they don't know you, Jesus. But we know that the Word of God says there's going to be 144,000 witnesses amongst the Jewish people in the days to come. And Lord, we look forward to that time. Even though we won't be here, we'll be in glory, but we'll be observers like in a theater, watching what's going on there in Israel. So thank you, Lord, for each and every person here. We pray that, Lord, even with the baptism coming up, that God, your name would be glorified. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.